We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. And Adam, whoa, boy. Carolina Insider takes a week off and everything gets blown to heck.
We thought that this was the surest way to make sure we didn't forget that it was Friday, was to do the show on a Tuesday.
Yeah, do it on Tuesday and make sure that we are fully up to date on all these shenanigans going on around college athletics, how Carolina fits into all of this, and so much more. And on a much happier note, an interview with Justin McCoy, new Tar Heel transfer from Virginia. And I think people will enjoy the interview. I think people would have really enjoyed the post-interview interview where we just sat and cut it up with Justin McCoy for about another half hour.
Well, as we said in the interview, just a very nice, personable guy.
Yeah.
Friendly to everybody, always eager to chat, and we enjoyed chatting with him on and off the air, and even more looking forward to seeing him on the court here in just a couple of months.
So that's coming up. Nowhere else to start. Well, first let me tell you about LS Tractor, and then we'll get into business.
Nowhere else to start in the sports world.
But LS Tractor.
But LS Tractor.
I know you're worried that your outside chores or projects might cause you to miss some Tar Heel game action this year. Well, don't. Just don't worry about it anymore, because LS Tractor's here to make short work of them. That's normal yard maintenance. Larger projects, LS Tractor has the machine for you. You know that website? It's LS Tractor. That's the letter L and the letter S, not Ellis. Not the last name Ellis. LSTractorUSA.com. LS Tractor, what's it about for you? Okay, Adam, obviously the big news is that Texas and Oklahoma have decided and told everyone that they are not going to be re-entering in an agreement with the Big 12 once the current grant of rights of the Big 12 extinguishes in 2025. The overriding, while not 100% confirmed, but the overriding thought is that Texas and Oklahoma will be going to the SEC. And just a massive piece of news for college athletics. And it feels to me like we are in as suddenly as an unstable place in college athletics as there has been probably in the last 20 years or so, since the first wave of realignment. Then there was, of course, the second wave, maybe 10 years later, when Maryland and Syracuse and Pitt and all these schools, and now here we are again. And Adam, I I think that the ACC can't afford to just hang out. They've got to figure out what's best for them moving forward, and I'm not sure what that answer is outside, of course, of adding Notre Dame, if you can do it.
It seemed like the last two waves that you mentioned of realignment were largely done how conferences were imagined in the past. And that's what all the decisions were based on. This one almost certainly seems like it's the quote-unquote winner of this is going to be whoever most correctly imagines the future of college sports. And I'm not sure anyone really knows, other than the SEC seems to know that if you just have the most big names who play football, then you're probably going to win. And that's what they're banking on. I thought it was interesting that just a few episodes ago, we talked about DeLoss Dodds having said that Texas kind of flirted with the ACC a little bit on the previous round. And I think, I'm not sure we fully understand from afar how Texas is. They're just different.
Yeah.
Texas is a different animal in how they think about themselves and how they relate to their sort of peers. And I think it'll be interesting to see how that works out in the SEC, because a lot of people in Texas's area have put up with Texas for a long time. And they just kind of roll their eyes and go, "Huh, that's Texas, but we need them." Well, now you're going to the SEC and Alabama don't play that, Texas. So who knows how that'll work out, but probably when they're rolling in their big bowls full of money, it'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, not that this is a surprise, but that's what it's all about, right? I mean, it's all about the monetary opportunities. And that is where, Adam, the ACC now is stuck a little bit. Not a little bit. And this has been known, and we've even talked about it kind of from time to time, but I think it was always like, that'll get figured out eventually. Well, now it's time to have to figure it out, because the television money that the ACC is locked into currently for the next almost 20 years is going to put them at a substantial disadvantage school by school. Conference, but against the other conferences, they're going to be at a substantial monetary disadvantage, which at some point, when it's year after year after year after year, is going to start showing more and more on the field and on the court as well. And so what do they do about it? Well, Adam, I don't know if anybody knows that answer. There's the obvious of Notre Dame joins full-time. It doesn't seem like Notre Dame wants to do that. And outside of that play, name another school that you think would be available that you could get that would make a difference. I mean, West Virginia is the one that you hear the most. And, does West Virginia make geographic sense? Absolutely it does. If you took Jim Phillips, brand new commissioner of the ACC, and you guys went out on the town and had a couple margaritas, and you said, "Hey, Jimmy P, I'm not going to tell anybody, but if you could get rid of BC and have West Virginia instead, would you do it? Or would you get it? Like, if you didn't have Wake Forest anymore, but you had West Virginia, would you do it?" I think you would do it. But that's not how it works. Nobody's getting kicked out. And so, but just adding West Virginia doesn't do anything. It just gives you another team that you're going to divvy up your money with. That, again, and that's not a negative on West Virginia. I think they would be a positive addition to the league, but it doesn't help you with what you need help with right now. And so, and I think they're much more attractive than any, Memphis or Cincinnati or Central Florida or USF. Nobody cares. That doesn't do anything. So it's a pickle, Adam. And honestly, I kind of feel like the ACC is in a little bit of trouble. I mean, they got to figure it out.
The current television deal, the ACC is $13 million per team short on the distribution. of the SEC, and that's before the SEC's new deal with ESPN and ABC takes effect in 2024, at which time you can expect the deficit to be $20 million plus.
Every single year.
Every year, right. So you might say, well, $13 million, Bubba Cunningham can be creative and figure that out. Maybe, but can he figure out the $39 million over the next 3 years? And then more after that? I think if the ACC tries to kind of do this the way it's always been done, they are going to add a team, because when you add a team, then you can renegotiate your deal. And so that would be the trigger to unlock the, quite honestly, bad contract they're in right now. Then you go to the table and say, oh, we added a team. This isn't good anymore. Let's redo this. But is any you're not going to get to that amount.
With a West Virginia. And right. Again, this is nothing about West Virginia. I think if they were in the league right now, that'd be good. That'd be fine.
It's a cultural fit.
Right.
Although I know people kind of roll their eyes at West Virginia or whatever, but when you go to games, you kind of feel what's the cultural fit and what's not, and I feel like that would be a fit. But that has absolutely nothing to do with this. That's how you built a conference in the old days.
Yeah.
This is new days where I need to know about your Instagram followers. But remember, one of the big selling points with Jim Phillips was he has ties to Notre Dame. So if anybody's going to get Notre Dame, it's Jim Phillips. And I have to imagine that is what he thinks about first, second, and third every single day, because that's the only way anyone on the outside is ever going to think the ACC won this shuffle, is bringing in Notre Dame. And if I'm not mistaken, contractually at this point, if they join a league, it's the ACC.
That's correct.
So you've got that for whatever that's worth. It's not viable. I saw a couple people last week say, well, Notre Dame could just go join the Big Ten. Well, no, they couldn't. Sir, take that. I don't think that's happening.
You better check yourself.
We've got legal documents, and those are always binding. So I think you got to try to get Notre Dame. And the question is, are you willing to do what the Big 12 did for Texas for Notre Dame to join the ACC? Would you give them the Notre Dame network and an unequal share of this or that in order to have them in? Or are you so committed to the equal distribution of everything that that's a non-starter? Then my other question for you, Jones, is, are there any circumstances in which you're willing for Carolina to leave the ACC?
Right. I mean, I think that's the other side of this. You could say from each individual school, I think Carolina is one of the schools in the league that legitimately would be desired by another conference. I think Clemson and Florida State probably would be. But I think of all the ACC schools, I feel like Carolina would be the one that would be most desired, right? It's a national brand for all the reasons that we know.
It's Texas.
Yes.
Without Texas football.
Yes.
But better positioned in football today than Texas.
That's what's so dumb. Texas hadn't even been very good for a long time, unless they're playing the Tar Heels in basketball.
Right.
They haven't been very good competitively. But yes, I mean, Carolina is one of those schools. They're in the group of however many schools you want to name, five or six, that I think are the most recognizable in the country.
Well, I think it's relevant now that Fanatics put out their top 10 bestsellers mm-hmm. in the last couple weeks, and Carolina was the only ACC school in the top 10 and the only like non-what I would call football school in the top five because it is a powerful brand. And you can say, well, that doesn't matter in this. Yes, it does. That's
the only thing
that matters.
It's the only thing that matters. So I have a hard time thinking that Carolina would leave the ACC unless it was a dire situation. Now, maybe this is a dire situation. I don't know. But I mean, founding member of the conference, I think the linchpin historically of the conference, I just find it hard to believe that they would. Now, having said all of that, let's go back to something that you said at the beginning. It's maybe the decisions probably need to be based more on what is going to happen than what has happened. So only Bubba Cunningham ultimately knows that answer, along with, of course, all the people around Carolina who would have to make that decision. I am sure that it has been at least thought about, but I also don't know if it has been seriously thought about. But I don't think any athletic director would be doing his job at this moment if he or she wasn't thinking about that.
Well, this in no way represents anything Cunningham is thinking,
yeah,
or Kevin Guskowitz or anyone.
Right.
This is just us spitballing here, yeah, in Pond World.
We're just chewing the fat.
But I do think it's fascinating to think about how different the response to that question would be. Number one, as we sit here at Carolina, knowing everything about Carolina and how things are here, versus if you ask Joe in Spokane, hey, should North Carolina think about going somewhere else? Joe would say, yeah. Carolina wields one of the biggest hammers in that conference, and now looks like the time to use it. Look at the financial difference that you're talking about, which is all that matters in this discussion. Why would you not explore that? But as we know, as we sit here, there are some other factors at play that would go into that discussion that you just hope doesn't make Carolina as a university not nimble enough to explore all the options thoroughly. Of course, the ACC has been a great partner for decades and decades, and you can't imagine it any other way. That's not the question. The question is, can you imagine the next six decades any other way? And yes, you can right now.
And I mean, of course, there are some legal parts to this too. I mean, if any school tried to leave the ACC, you've got that grant of rights through 2035. So you'd be leaving a lot of money on the table. And so I think it is unlikely that Carolina or anybody will leave the ACC. But also, I don't know if anybody thought Texas and Oklahoma were going to go to the SEC. It is an unstable time right now. I don't think you want to do something just to do something, but it feels like you need to do something, if that makes sense. So I don't envy the position that Jim Phillips is in, but I will say it. I mean, I'm sure you've seen these articles and columns and things like this as well. It seems like everyone in the ACC feels very good about Jim Phillips being the one who will have to manage this from the conference's standpoint. They seem to feel, and you and I have both briefly met him. I don't know him well at all, but everyone seems to feel as though he is very well equipped to handle this and will ultimately do the right thing.
And he's tight with Notre Dame, which everyone likes over these next few months. But everything you said is true. Also, so far, this isn't a situation like a Big 12 situation where everyone seems to kind of agree that Bob Bowlesby may not know what's going on all the time.
Right.
I think you've got to look into some creative things, like some sort of scheduling partnership with other places that you feel like are similar to you, like the Big 10 or like the Pac-12.
We got the ACC Big 10 Challenge, Adam.
Yeah, you got to go bigger than that.
What?
Bigger than that. There's not much bigger than that, but even a little bigger than the ACC Big 10 Challenge. Link up with the Pac-12. They're always confused about what's going on. You've got two coasts. You can rule, just give the SEC kind of the middle part.
Yeah.
We'll take the coasts.
Yeah, we want that. And as we know, through time, whoever controls the sea controls power.
That's right. Yes. When there's a naval invasion,
yeah,
the ACC will be the most strongly positioned in this new war allegiance with the Pac-12.
Yeah.
I think you could make some kind of alliance with the Pac-12 that would make sense for both, because the ACC has things the Pac-12 wants. Pac-12 has things the ACC wants. Very similar institutions, so you don't have to worry about everybody getting all upset because they're not the right kind of schools. The ACC's got nothing in common with what's left of the Big 12. Don't make the mistake of saying, well, I guess Oklahoma State's kind of cute. I guess. I mean, I've seen her 10 times. I've never spoken to her, but it's 3 in the morning. All right.
Hey there, TCU. What's up?
So I'm surprised at how fast it moved. It went from like, hey, guys, this is something that might occur in the future, too. We already did this.
Yeah. Yeah. When I first saw the report, I was like, oh, that's not going to happen. And then it happened. Like immediately.
That afternoon.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I would be a little bit upset if I was another member of the Big 12 right now.
Well, but I think if you're another member of the Big 12, you knew what Texas was.
Yeah.
You've known that. You had to give them their own TV network to keep them from leaving the last time. It turns out they were flirting with the ACC at the same time. They've been who they are the whole time. And this is who they are. And SEC, they're going to be this after they get to you too. So don't be surprised. In 10 years, we could be sitting here talking about ACC member Texas. And no one, that's who they are. For better or worse. And for many times, it's been better. Sometimes it bites them. So I think it would be interesting to hear what Mac Brown thinks. And I'm sure we will in the days and weeks to come because he knows Texas much better than us. And kind of how he sees that. It's weird that all of a sudden Clemson is like this power player. Because when this whole thing happened before, Clemson was like, oh, we got a Clemson. But now Clemson is sought after, I feel like.
Well, it just goes back to the power of football in college athletics right now, because that is the driver of the money and driver of TV and all of it. And so a couple things. If, let's say, the ACC did add Notre Dame, I don't think they need to add anybody else.
No.
Right?
You're done. You did it.
Yeah.
You won.
Get your 15, make 15 teams, get rid of the divisions, and just do what you did last year in football and roll with it. I don't think you need to bring in Navy or West Virginia or anybody else.
You don't need even teams for divisions because you don't even want divisions now. Jim Phillips said last week he wants to explore the NCAA doing away with that requirement for a championship game.
I like you, Jim Phillips.
Yeah. Just follow what the pod says.
I think it is going to be a very tense couple of months coming up for everybody.
Feels like it's going to move pretty quickly. If you live through these last couple rounds of realignment, you know it kind of gets thrown out there as an idea, and it goes very quickly to, okay, this is occurring.
What do you think? What do you think is going to happen?
I think the ACC somehow gets Notre Dame.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's the only way to win.
But how do they do it?
I don't know. Jim Phillips. And I think, and it may not be as a member the way we think of now.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's the future. Where we're going, we don't need roads. I think maybe you've got to let them keep some portion of their stuff that's already theirs, and they sign on and everything else and gradually come in.
Can I ask a legitimate question? This is a legitimate question I have. Is Notre Dame really still that valuable?
Yes.
I mean, so you think they are that popular still?
They're as popular as Texas.
Yeah.
I think 25 years from now, probably not. Because they haven't really done anything. If you write down on a sheet of paper, what has everyone in this discussion accomplished since 2000? They would not be at the top of the list.
Right.
In anything. But there's that thing about them. And this is more about...
But I think the generation of people who have the thing for Notre Dame won't be in the mix as much 20 years from now.
Right, exactly. But
that was a little bit of a dark comment, but I did. But I just say I just, and maybe it does have the cachet with today's generation, and I just don't realize it. But I don't know.
There's still something about it.
But you know what? Also, what you said about Texas, I kind of feel like about Notre Dame. This is exactly what they did with the Big East. I mean, you know who they are. And they're not even trying to hide it. It's not like they're calling Greg Sankey at 2 a.m. or whatever Texas was doing. Notre Dame's like, look, this is what we are. We want somewhere to put our Olympic sports. We want to keep our contract with NBC. And we don't really have a strong desire to join a conference for football. They've always been that way.
Not only do they not have a strong desire, they feel like it's their
fundamental
belief that they shouldn't be.
And willing to, in a rare move for anyone, willing to get less money to keep it.
Right.
They don't care.
And I think in some ways that's part of what makes them so attractive. They're playing hard to get. There's just something about the fact that they've always been a loner that makes you want them in your club. Like, oh, the Fonz is out there wearing his leather jacket. I'd like to have him come in the diner.
Speaking of generation of people who won't be.
Is there any way to win other than getting Notre Dame?
You got to get somebody else, like
who?
Penn State, Florida. I mean, somebody who you're not going to get.
Yeah, they're not doing that.
Right. I mean, it's just the other teams that I think would make sense aren't available. No one who is in those eight teams left in the Big 12, and again, we spoke about West Virginia, none of them would move the needle enough. Mm-mm. It would have to be a big brand team, and that's not available.
And this is where people start having these discussions like, well, what if you just add East Carolina? No.
On Twitter, every single thread that has something to do with ACC and realignment, the App State people jump in and show you their football record for the last 10 years. Like, dude, that doesn't matter, App State.
It has nothing to do with your record.
Doesn't matter.
The overwhelming majority of people who would see you in the conference would think your name was Appalachian State. If they can't pronounce your name, you're not in. No one thinks it's Texas. They all know it's freaking Texas. And that's what this is all about. It's about what's your brand and who knows you.
Well, and I saw, I think it was Joe Giglio who was discussing this on Twitter. I think maybe David Hale was in this discussion too. And it makes sense. I think the big mistake with all the realignment was you went after the TV markets, which at the time made sense. But it doesn't matter if you have the TV market if nobody likes the team. It's just like Rutgers in the Big Ten. I think that's the one thing Big Ten did wrong. Nobody cares about Rutgers. BC, you and I have both been there. It's not like people are wrapped up in BC sports in Boston. There's a couple other teams that they are much more wrapped up in. And so I think if you could do it all again, you would go for, okay, who are the teams that people actually care about? Regardless of where they are, who do people actually want to follow? You said this off the air. If I'm flipping the channels on TV or my streaming device or whatever, am I going to stop if I see that BC's playing somebody, or am I more likely to stop if Texas is playing somebody or West Virginia's? I mean, I think if you could do it all again, that would be your focus of which schools and teams do people actually care about the most?
You have to actually visit there, not just look at a sheet of paper that says how many televisions are in the 30-mile radius.
And again, this is all hindsight, of course.
Well, yeah, you based it all on TV. The split second right before TV went away as we knew it, and no one foresaw that it was going away, but it did. And now it's different, and expansion is different than what it once was, and half the people who are listening to this don't even remember that Penn State nearly was in the ACC.
Yeah.
And arguably should be. But that didn't pan out, and they're not leaving the Big Ten now because they're happy with where they are, just like Maryland is. Maryland's not leaving the Big Ten either because their financial payout is greater. Do they have to play some teams they don't care about? Yes. But they console themselves with large checks, and they feel okay about it.
So, an uncertain time to be sure, I think, not just for Carolina, but for everybody, really.
And another thing people always forget, there's universities involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the sports teams that you know the most about. This is when people on the academic side start getting involved, and that's when it gets very tricky because the criteria they're using are completely different than anything you and I are thinking about. And although it's different than what you and I are thinking about, they oftentimes end up being decision makers or at least talking to the decision makers. And that's when things really stop making sense. So it's not just an athletic decision. The academics are going to end up mattering in for sure in Carolina's case, maybe not so much at Texas, for sure in Carolina's case.
Adam, anything else on this very fluid topic?
Expansion talk is always kind of exciting. I like expansion talk or realignment.
Yeah, it's one of those things, though, that I think, but then when the reality of it hits,
yeah,
it's not nearly as fun. No. It's like if you, it's like a true crime. If you like true crime or something, like, oh, you're all into it. And then you realize, oh, this is actually some kind of crime that occurred, and it's right. Terrible.
Someone's life was adversely affected.
Right. This. Whereas, and you're sitting here and you're like shuffling the deck of, well, what if this team did this and this team, and this school went here? And then it's all fun and interesting and you can get lost in it. And then all of a sudden you got Maryland playing Minnesota for a regular season game.
Well, it's like how when I look at BC and I'm like, oh, the Freedom Trail, pastries, the North End. I like all these things. And then they're like, all right, Tuesday night, February 27th, 9 p.m., Tar Heels at BC. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I don't like this as much as I thought.
So, Adam, we will see. Anything else you want to talk about before we get to our Justin McCoy interview? I know you have a healthy list over there.
I've got a list.
Oh.
I don't know if I'd call it healthy.
Playing coy with
I mean, it's not sick either.
Well, if it was, you know who they could call, Adam? UNC Health. Brought to you by UNC Health, dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds to help keep you in the game and at your very best. You can see their lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports. Tar Heels were picked as the Coastal Division favorites by ACC media members, not the elite group that votes for the postseason awards. This is the preseason awards. I mean, that's about right. I mean, you and I sat here and talked. We thought that either Carolina or Miami would likely be the choice. Carolina was the heavy choice in the Coastal. Miami was second. Clemson, of course, in the Atlantic and as the overall champion, although Carolina did receive the second highest number of prognostications to win the championship. 125 of the 147 total votes went to Clemson, 16 to Carolina, 3 for Miami, and then Virginia, Georgia Tech, and NC State. Who called it? I mean, come on.
Those are the ones I want to talk about, those three. Virginia, Georgia Tech, and NC State got one vote each to win the whole league, not just the division, the whole conference.
So one person, because State also got a first-place vote in the Atlantic, which
right.
You have to.
Yeah, sure.
So one person really believes in NC State. Really believes in NC State.
It's hard to imagine that there's only one of those based on everything I've seen. But like to me, this is just the whole mindset of like everything going on with sports betting. And like I'm going to bet on the craziest thing possible. And if it ends up being right, look how smart I'll look. You're telling me somewhere out there in the world of people.
out there.
Hold on, Fievel. In the world of people who follow ACC sports for a living, like this is their main thing they do. There's someone who looked at everything and thought, I think the most likely outcome here is Georgia Tech wins the entire conference. No, Someone was like, I'm going to see how smart I can look. I'll throw away my vote because they're not public, even though they should be, on Georgia Tech. And if somehow I end up being right, I can tell everybody. Only then will I tell everybody I was the one.
I mean, Georgia Tech was selected sixth in the Coastal of the seven teams. And yet, someone chose them as their overall champion. And I'm not saying Georgia Tech's going to be bad. I don't know. I wouldn't have chosen them as my preseason champion.
Would they have been in your top five? If you had to pick the top five most likely teams to win the whole ACC in football in 2021, would Georgia Tech have been in the top five?
No.
No! No one with even a thimble full of knowledge about ACC football would think that that is the most likely outcome. Because that's what you're voting on in this. What do I think is the most likely outcome? Guys, I think the Jackets are probably going to go undefeated and beat Clemson in the ACC championship game. Or beat NC State, depending on if perhaps they win the Atlantic.
Fourth consecutive season and seventh time in 9 years that Clemson has been the preseason favorite.
Two straight years, the preseason poll has gotten it right in who wins the divisions. So they're going for 3 years in a row, which would be Tar Heels against Tigers.
Coastal Division, at least again, just in this voting. Carolina, then Miami, then Virginia Tech, followed by Pitt, Virginia, Georgia Tech, and Duke. And then in the Atlantic, I mean, 146 out of the 147 voters chose Clemson in the Atlantic. Then State and their lone wolf. See what I did there, Adam? Voter.
You talking about that statue they got where they run into the field?
And their new little puppy mascot. BC is third. Oh, quite a comeuppance for that. We've been ragging on BC,
yeah,
and they just shoved it in our face.
SEC, you keep your hands off BC. We are not letting them get away without a fight, sir. Don't you come to the table and try to get our Eagles.
Jeff Hafley is not going to leave this conference.
And their coach, not Jim Christian in basketball.
Who is their coach?
Is it Anthony Grant? Anthony somebody?
Let's look it up.
Okay.
Okay, Adam. Oh, well, it's... okay. Jim Christian, by the way, is who comes up on Google. Ho, Google. you were close. Earl Grant.
Yeah, same thing.
Wasn't he at Charleston, maybe?
I was going to guess Charleston. Good old Earl.
So, yeah, we nailed that. Yeah, got it. Yes, he was at Charleston. See, just like I knew. So after BC, it is then Florida State, Wake Forest, Louisville, Syracuse. Syracuse got the fewest amount of votes of any team in the conference.
What's up with Louisville?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Tar Heels haven't played them lately, so I don't really pay attention to them in football. But they should be better than that.
Scott Satterfield in his second year? Yes. Third year. So, I don't know. We'll see. Nobody knows. We haven't seen the, as Adam and I are recording this, haven't seen the individual preseason stuff. I think that comes out today, Tuesday, I think. So, anyway, as Mac Brown said, when he met with the media, what was it, that people have been pouring sugar on the Tar Heels all offseason?
Step inside, walk this way.
So there have been some, just a little more sugar on there. But Tar Heels are going to have to, of course, prove it on the field. Just a little more than a month away, Adam.
Yeah, we're close.
Kickoff.
We got to get this realignment talk done so we can play football because the Tar Heels are good this year.
Yeah. Okay. Adam, anything else from the Tar Heel side of things before we get to Justin McCoy?
I don't think so.
Okay. Let's talk to Justin McCoy. We'll come back. We'll get to Adam's list and have a good old-fashioned good time after this on the Carolina Insider.
All right. We're not making this up. We're telling the truth. I can't remember the last time we had someone in here who so unanimously everyone has said is such a nice person.
Oh.
Because normally...
I'm in here every day, Adam.
Yeah, I know. Normally, we have people are kind of like, you might want to be careful with that one, or, watch out for this. And Justin doesn't know this, but even going back several years, like pre this summer, I had people telling me Justin McCoy was a nice guy. Ooh. So no pressure. If you turn out to be a jerk, you're going to let a lot of people down.
All right. Sounds good.
What's your summer been like at the post-Chapel Hill transition?
It's been very different. Summer has been a lot of hard work. There's been a lot of workouts, definitely a lot busier than I was in my past two summers, transitioning into like college and stuff like that. So I loved every minute of it. I love the guys that I'm working with, coaches and players. I loved the area. The area is really nice. I've been up and down Franklin Street a lot, and it's just been a lot of fun. So, yeah, I mean, I've been enjoying myself a lot. I've been working hard, having a lot of fun.
So why, when you decided that transferring was something you were interested in, why was Carolina the place? I know there was a previous relationship, of course, but right. Why was Carolina ultimately the right choice for you?
Carolina was always, I mean, they were a choice coming out of high school. That was where I wanted to go when I was in high school. I remember telling my coach, I think it was my sophomore year after I broke my foot, and I was like, hey, like, I want to be a North Carolina basketball player. And I was like, you know what, like, how can we get this done? And then, you know, as time goes on, you know, sometimes things change, and sometimes you think what's best for you. It's something else, and you know, you try that route. So coming back the second time, I kind of had an idea in my head that like this is a place where I wanted to go, and I was just waiting for the opportunity. And then also just reevaluating with Coach Davis, you know, how he broke down his style of play, how he wanted to use me, and what he saw me being. I really liked it. I really believed in him, and I think he believes in me, and I think that was the most important part.
What we've heard him, Coach Davis, in public talk some about, you know, style of play, and that seems to be something he's talked a lot about.
Right.
When he was talking to you about it, what was that discussion like?
It's the same as what I think he told everyone else. He wants to play play fast still, like how they do. He wants to crash the glass still. He wants to defend still. And then I think the new thing is, you know, instead of playing two bigger guys, you know, creating more space. I think he's trying to play a more pro style type offense where you know, the floor is spaced out. You have a stretch four kind of guy who can, you know, go off the dribble, who can shoot, who can create. And I think it just makes it more fluid. I think it makes it, you know, more spaced out. So guys like Caleb Love can attack the basket. And then you have your guys like Kerwin that can shoot. And then, you know, then you have your big guys who can work out too. But when they work out, there are so many shooters around that they're able to work out and they can't clog the paint. And I think it helps our offense a lot. And it's definitely more pro level style offense. But what they ran in the past was super successful. I mean, can't argue with six championships.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I think this style of play fits more for me and some of the other guys on our team that we've acquired this summer.
You've obviously seen some of this personnel from the opposing bench or on the court with them. As you've seen them this summer kind of differently, what have you seen that was different than maybe what you were expecting or maybe took you by surprise?
I guess playing at Virginia, you know, we play a lot of defense and we practice it a lot. So we give teams usually their best. I guess we're the best defense they've played against. So it's a little different, but also seeing guys like, you know, this summer, I'm really impressed. A lot of guys have really impressed me. I'm not going to name specifics because I don't want to leave anyone out because everyone has impressed me. I'm just like, it's such a high level play of basketball, like playing these pickups games in these workouts. I'm like, man. Everyone can play, and so it's been really impressive. It's been really nice, and kind of forgot the question here, but
that's okay. You did a good job answering it, and you brought up another question. What is the secret to how Virginia defends Carolina? And like when Virginia's getting ready for Carolina, do they talk about these guys can't solve our defense? Because Carolina hasn't solved their defense for several years.
I think part of it is just, you know, sometimes you get, I guess, unlucky. So sometimes you don't have your best games against certain teams. I think that Virginia just hasn't been some of their best games. But also, just like at Virginia, we play defense from the start of summer, day one. I mean, they re-break down how to slide your feet, how to be in a defensive stance. They change all that. And they do a really good job of it, too. I mean, I would say, like, the first, I don't know, at least 30 to 45 minutes. I mean, I feel like it's mostly defense oriented, and it makes you so much, a much better defender. I mean, I struggled my first year a whole lot. I felt like I was getting blown by. I was off balance a bunch. And then, you know, kind of ending that year and going into year two, I felt like I could defend anybody. And that's just kind of what it is. It's a lot of balancing, a lot of like reteaching slides and angles. And it's just, I mean, it's really good stuff. And I'm glad I got to carry it over here. And then hopefully I can, you know, maybe if some guys want to learn from it, I can kind of, you know, throw that in there a little bit.
Did you ever mess up and call it campus instead of the grounds and people got mad at you and didn't talk to you for like a week?
I don't think I ever called it grounds, except for maybe.
I already like you, Justin.
No wonder you're here.
I can already lie. I can already tell I like you.
Yeah, that was a big thing. I got corrected a lot, but you know, I'm one of those guys where I'm like, I mean, it's the same thing. So.
So you knew Hubert, if I think I have this right, Hubert was your recruiter when you were in high school, correct? Is that... Yeah. So, and this may be hard to answer because you haven't really seen him a ton in practice or in a game yet. Is there a difference in your mind in assistant coach Hubert Davis that you knew back then and head coach Hubert Davis now? Or have you just not had enough experience yet with him as the head coach to have a good answer to that?
I don't know if I can exactly answer your question, but I can kind of give you what I know.
Sure.
And, Coach Davis is really unique. I mean, in terms of, you know, his personality, how he cares about you. Like, I genuinely think he thinks I'm one of his kids, like his sons. Like, I genuinely believe that, and I genuinely believe he thinks that about everyone on his team. He gets emotional with us, and you know, he always said, and it's one thing that I love, he said, you know, it's okay to get emotional because that means you care. And I think that's real because a lot of times, you know, people try to be, like, nonchalant or, like, you have a coach who's not as – it doesn't feel as genuine. It just feels like they're trying to get something out of you. And it seems like he's trying to get something out of us, but in turn get us something for ourselves as well. And it's just that mutual relationship. And then I honestly think the beauty of it is that he doesn't change who he is. He hasn't changed who he is. I mean, I didn't know him well as an assistant coach, but I think he's done the same things he's been doing, and he's doing the things his way that he thinks will work. And then, you know, he's also taking advice from everybody else on his staff, you know, the staff that he brought in. And so it's really, like, it's really cool to see how humble he is as a head coach. You know, I think Coach Ford, he came yesterday, and apparently he called Coach Davis Rook, because that's what he called him, you know, back whenever, I think when Coach Davis was playing. But he said, you know, I can't call you that anymore, you're coach. And he was like, nah, like, I'm still Rook. And he told us not to call him. He was like, I'm not coach. That's Coach Smith and Coach Williams. He was like, I'm HD, like, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
So it's just one of those things where he just, like, you know, he doesn't try to hold himself to such a high position. And, like, you know, he still has that player mindset. And I think that's one of the biggest things, too. All our coaches were players. And that's been really cool because, you know, everything that you're going through or you've been through, they've been through, and they can be with you the whole way.
You mentioned Phil Ford being around, and people listening to this sort of instantly picture Phil Ford playing and know how important he is to their lives as Tar Heel fans. What difference does it make to you, who probably doesn't have that frame of reference on Phil Ford, but to have Phil Ford and George Lynch and some of the other guys who have been around already this summer?
So all these alumni guys that come back, I mean, not only are they playing and playing at a high level, but then you also, you know, they're talking to us. Coach Davis always groups us up right before pickup, and they drop some knowledge to us. And, you know, I may not know who they are right away, or I may not be familiar with who they were when they were here. But when I look up in the rafters and I see, oh, that number and that last name, especially on that first row, you're like, oh, okay. So, like, it's one of those things where you're like, you know, those guys have reached legendary status here. And I think we'd be fools not to listen to them.
So tell us about your game. What is Justin McCoy, the basketball player, like?
Justin McCoy, the basketball player, is extremely hardworking. He attempts to do all the little things and tends to do them most of the time. You know, whether that's rebounding, defending, I want to do those things. And I think part of that was actually going to Virginia. So I would like to say that, you know, I wanted to be here the whole time, but I also think that I got a lot of good stuff from there. And, you know, that I think that was important in my development. But at the same time, now I'm going here for an opportunity, ready to contribute. And as a player, I can knock down shots. I can create for my teammates. I can defend whoever I need to defend. I can defend 1 through 5. I can rebound with the best of them. And then, you know, I just want to win. That's one of the biggest things for me, is I want to win. I'll do whatever I need to do to win. And I feel like I could feel any spot on offense or defense.
Coach Davis wants y'all to make 1,000 three-pointers a week.
Right.
We talked yesterday, and you had already made over 800, and that was very early in the week.
Yeah.
How long would it take me to make 1,000 3-pointers? And then
that's not a fair question. No, but Justin's like, well, let's see. How much time do we have till the season starts? What day is today?
It kind of depends on what you do. I think one of the biggest things for me was working with Coach Manuel, Jackie Manuel. He put me through a bunch of different drills that I do, and that's how I get my shots up. I'm not shooting to count shots because I feel like that's not as helpful for me. So what we'll do is one drill, probably my favorite one, we go 7 spots around the arc. You have to make 7 in a row from each spot in under 7 minutes. And I think my fastest time was like 6:20. But at the same time, like, I finished in 6 minutes 20 seconds. I made 101 threes, and I missed 15. So, like, I mean, like, a drill like that, like, you're not getting caught up in the numbers. You're not getting caught in that. And then you end up shooting, what is that, above 80%. I've been shooting pretty much around 80% every week. But, I mean, it's just stuff like that where, like, you know, you're not thinking about the misses. You're not thinking about counting the makes and all that stuff. You're just shooting, and you're competing against yourself. You're competing against the clock, and you're just, you know, competing to make shots. So that's one thing that Coach Manuel has worked with me a lot with, and I really appreciated it, and it's been a lot of fun.
For some reason, Jackie's never done that drill with me.
Jackie has a life outside of just having to sit in the Smith Center.
Honey, Rhonda, I'll be home in 3 days. Adam's on his second spot of 7.
Adam's hit 3 in a row, but he needed some water after that. Hold on. So you mentioned, it seems like, and again, this is kind of from the outside looking in, that Coach Davis and his staff really big on individual development. And if you want to work with a coach that, hey, okay, coach's going to be there and it's going to work you out one-on-one. Is that a fair statement? And if it is, what does that mean as a player to have that access?
Yeah, so, I mean, of course, we're limited with, like,
sure.
NCAA regulation times and stuff. So, like, it's really tricky because sometimes, like, you can try to get in work, but you got to be really careful with that. So sometimes when we don't have, like, a team practice for 1 week, or we don't have a bunch of pickup times where they're there, like, watching for the first 10 minutes or whatever, you can you know, we can get in work with him. And this week is one of the biggest weeks because we don't have that practice time.
Mm-hmm.
So he can work with us, which is really nice. But I think it's really awesome to have them do that because, you know, coaches working on, you know, individual skill development stuff, that stuff is outside of, like, the team stuff. So, like, he's not taking us and putting us through the offensive emphasis that we have for the team. It's literally just individual development, expanding your game, fine-tuning all the things that you do well, and then creating, you know, new talents that you don't have unlocked yet. So I think that's just awesome to have a coaching staff like that.
For Carolina fans who haven't gotten to know this staff as well yet, how would you describe each of these guys from a player's perspective?
They're all player coaches. Like, I mean, they've been where you want to go. I mean, everyone's been at the highest level somewhat of either coaching or playing or any of that kind of thing. You know what I mean? So having coaches that have done that and then coming back, you know, pouring their time into you, I mean, it's just awesome. And then, you know, we can relate to them. They're so, I mean, they're not like, I don't want to say like they're like our age, like young, but they're on the younger side. I mean, they kind of have a feel for, I guess, what we're going through now, more in a sense than maybe someone else would as an older coach.
All right. We have heard some rumors about you and Tyler Hansbrough having some battles during pickup games. What is that accurate? And what is it like going again? I guess now it's sad to say a 30-plus year old Tyler Hansbrough out on the court.
I don't know if I would call it, like, I mean, battling. Like, yeah, we play against each other. You know, I won a couple games. You know, his team won a lot of games. But, no, he's a beast. I mean, I remember watching him. My sister was a huge fan of his. I think that was her first basketball jersey ever. I mean, I remember telling my mom, like, she has to have a Tyler Hansbrough jersey.
That was Adam, too, actually. He had to have one of those, too.
And, no, like, I mean, he was amazing in college. And then seeing him come back, I mean, he's in top-notch shape. I mean, I think he's gotten even stronger. Like, it's insane to see that, you know, he's kept his body up for this long, and he plays so hard, and that's something that I actually admire a lot. I can respect somebody that does that. I mean, he goes hard every play, and that's just something that when you see it, you're kind of, like, in the game, you know, you're like, dang, like, I just want to beat him. Like, I hope he, like, stops, whatever. But like when you look back at it, you're like, you know, I needed that. Like not only did I need to see that to model myself after that, but I mean, it's that's something you can respect.
It's good to be young athletically, but does any part of you think, I can't wait till it's 5 or 6 years from now, I'm an old guy and I get all the calls?
Yeah, you can ask Kenny about that with me. Me and Kenny, we kind of, you know, we jaw back and forth at each other. Yeah, definitely, I can't wait to make some BS calls.
What do you like to do away from basketball?
I mean, of course, video games. I'm a young guy.
Sure. So,
you know, we love video games. I play with Kerwin a lot.
Kerwin's pretty good, right?
Yeah, Kerwin's really good. He's really quiet, too, as everyone kind of knows.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, you get him on that game, he'll talk. So me and Kerwin have been hanging out a lot, you know, just playing video games. And then I also like playing cards a lot. I was playing cards with Caleb Love, and we play pool a lot, me, him, Lebo. I'm trying to think. One of our managers sometimes will hop in the game. But, like, yeah, we've been playing pool, and I love cards, love video games. That's my little, I don't know, that's my things to do.
You know how those managers are. Is it fair to say that you're not a great loser?
Very fair. I probably hate losing more than I like winning, for sure. I can't stand it. I mean, we lost a couple games yesterday, and I was thinking about it today when I walked in the gym. So I was like, man, like, I don't know. It's just something about losing. I hate it. Can't do it.
You mentioned, go ahead, Adam.
Well, you know, Joel Berry used to not be a great loser either, and occasionally some things got broken. have you ever broken anything in your losing rage?
I have not.
I can't even imagine Justin being in a rage. Like, he's so low key right here.
Yeah,
like,
but you saw him yesterday playing.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's different Justin on the court.
Yeah, I will say when I get competitive, I'm super nice off the court, but on the court, yeah.
Different guy.
Different guy. But, I mean, I think that's what makes someone an ultimate competitor, and I want to be an ultimate competitor. So I think sometimes you got to, you know, switch the gears a little bit and you know, up it a little bit because, I mean, like I said, I want to win by any means necessary. But, no, I have not broken anything.
No body parts.
No walls.
No items.
No, I have thrown the ball across the gym before. I remember in high school, we lost a game, and I know my high school coach is probably laughing when he's going to hear this, but I threw it behind me. Like, I just threw the ball behind me. I thought it was an empty gym. No one was in there. Turns out my high school coach had walked over somewhere, and it hit him. And I remember he turned around, and the look on his face, and I, like, and he saw my face. I was like, Coach, like, I had no idea. I had to run. I had to run a lot for that. But, I mean, yeah, that was the last time I really raged before, just because I was like, man, like, I felt so bad.
You mentioned kind of a lot of new pieces for Carolina this year. Yourself, Brady, who we've spoken to, Dawson Garcia just coming in now, of course, the two freshmen as well. How do you guys try to assimilate within the team and kind of make yourself part of a new thing? I would think it's kind of like being a freshman all over again.
In a sense it is, but at the same time, it's a little easier just because of the new coaching staff. So, I mean, we're new, but everyone else there is new as well.
Right.
And, you know, we're changing, like, new staff, new offense, all that stuff means new everything. So honestly, everyone feels kind of the same way in terms of, like, we don't know what to kind of expect yet because we haven't been through it.
Sure.
And we also, you know, are all learning the same new things. So it's been a lot easier, you know, as a transition than it would normally be. But, you know, I think, you know, looking up and down the roster, I think everyone can play and everyone can play well. So it's really exciting to look at because, you know, I guess looking back these last years, you look at a championship team for the most part, you know, everyone has, you know, five guys that start, and then they have five, six, seven guys that you're like, man, they could all start somewhere else too and be winners. And mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's something I see when I look at our team, and that's something that I think, you know, it gets my hopes up. You know, of course, there's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of discipline to go into it. But it's really exciting when you look up and down our roster and you're like, man, we can go. We can go with the best of them.
I think Carolina fans always have a little something in their heart for their North Carolina native Tar Heels.
Mm-hmm.
Is it any different, or how is it different playing for Carolina basketball as a North Carolina guy?
This answer is hard because, you know, you kind of want to fight against it. But, you know, I would consider myself a competitor. And so you want to compete no matter what. But it does mean more being at home. It means more, whether you like it or not, whether you want it to or not. It just feels different. And that's one of the biggest things for me is that, you know, it just means more. And, like, North Carolina is somewhere I want to be. I want to be around my entire life. So knowing that I could come back here at some point and just know that, like, if I put up a championship or something like that, I could look up and be like, man, like, we did that. And then, you know, it's just something nice. It's something that you dream about as a little kid. And to know that it's, you know, within your grasp, like, it's close, it's really awesome.
That interview with Justin McCoy brought to you by the Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina. Texting while driving can take your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds, and at highway speeds, that's as if you are driving the length of a football field with your eyes closed. Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina wants you to stay safe behind the wheel, so put down that phone while you're driving. Let's have a hands-free NC. TrustedChoice.com to find an agent near you. Off we go to Adam's List.
What's on the top of Adam's List? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
We covered some of the items on the list in our thorough examination of conference realignment. What up? To Kyle Seager, 10 years with the Seattle Mariners, and the Mariners put out a really cool video honoring him for having reached, honestly, what is a difficult milestone to reach in Major League Baseball, 10 years with the same franchise, and he's been good all those 10 years. So recommend you finding that video on Twitter. Some familiar faces to the Tar Heels in that video. Another what up to a very good friend of the pod, Dylan Sorensen.
Yeah.
World record holder, as we know, and now the new women's, the head women's cross country coach here at Carolina.
Yeah. I like Dylan.
I do too.
Dylan sent me a happy birthday email on my birthday a couple weeks ago.
I did not get one from him.
He doesn't like you as much as he likes me.
No, clearly not.
Hey, game respects game, yeah. And he knows that I dribbled running the mile.
That's true.
I haven't seen you do that yet.
That's a good point. Not so happy what up, and in fact, more like an RIP to G College.
Boy, oh boy.
How are you going to explain this?
This was big news, Adam. And in fact, somebody tweeted us about, by the way, just quick, no one likes the idea of having Christian Laettner on the pod.
I noticed that. That was not popular.
Everybody hated that idea, in fact. Mm. It was Carolina Kinney who wanted to know what's happening to G College. And bad news. G College gone by the wayside. So, a quick catch up. There used to be two companies. One was Learfield and one was IMG College. These were the two companies. Part of what those two companies did was own media rights for college broadcasting for schools, just like Learfield was Carolina, for example. Those two companies, after a lot of legalese, those two companies merged. And now they own the rights to a large majority of college broadcasting and signage and all that stuff. And they came up with the very forward-thinking name of Learfield IMG College. They just put the two things together.
What if we merge and call it Coke Pepsi?
And so, as I'm sure you remember, when this first occurred, there was a lot of confusion. And people thought I was saying that my name was G College, including Hubert Davis's wife.
Head coach of the Tar Heels.
Yeah.
Well, his wife's not the head coach, but Hubert
right.
is.
And so, that's where the G College name came to play. That's been a couple years now, Adam. Well, last week,
in news that was only slightly overshadowed by the Texas-Oklahoma news, the company is rebranding itself. Got to do that to stay fresh, Adam.
Sure.
Probably had a bunch of corporate get-togethers to figure this out.
Focus groups.
Yeah. And new logo, new name, back to just Learfield. So no more Learfield IMG College. And in fact, even, I don't know if it's going to happen on this particular episode because I don't have the actual voice work yet, but you'll even hear on this at the end, it's not going to say, and at the beginning, it's not going to say from Learfield, it'll just say from Learfield. So brand new day, but with change and growth comes sacrifice. And unfortunately, G College has been sacrificed, Adam. G College is the Kansas State of this situation. Is the Texas Tech of things.
But much more important in our hearts. And I feel like we'll live on longer than Kansas State, G College.
Right.
I think you're still going to get called that at games this year. Like, we missed that this past year because no fans. But this coming year, I think someone somewhere will shout out at some arena, rather than throwing a Beefmaster at you, they will shout out, "Hey, G College!"
Only if you properly name Adam the Aristocrat of Tenderness as well, or you can call him Steve.
Right, yeah, one of those two things.
Either one of those two things is acceptable.
Basically synonyms.
So, in conclusion, RIP G College.
This seemed like really big news prior to about Thursday, but ESPN had a story on how the ACC is prioritizing football under the new regime of Jim Phillips, that there's going to be a football-first mentality, including these were two of the things that were mentioned: requiring everyone to have a spring game that can be on the ACC network, and requiring everyone to have a pro day that can be on the ACC network. I'm not sure that's going to solve all the current issues, but I think that's a fair enough step in the right direction. You're creating football content to put on your network, which you sell advertising for, and you're putting forward an image of a football fantasy land, which is what everyone wants.
I bet the ultimate Irish peeler is pumped right now.
Yeah, they're working on version 2.0. Have you peeled any potatoes?
I have not. I will one day.
Have you even gotten the Irish peeler out of your
car?
Yes,
I did take it out of the box. I took it out of the box.
Is it in your kitchen?
Yes.
Okay. So we've made some steps.
It's primed and ready to do some peeling.
It's ready for some potato to walk in there.
And I'm going to go, wait, I need to get this. I need to scoop the eye of this potato out. Wait a second. This ultimate Irish peeler can do that too.
Congratulations to former pod guest Justin Jackson. He is an NBA champion.
That was a fun series to watch, the Suns and the Bucks.
It was. I don't watch as much NBA during the regular season, but I like the playoffs, and I liked those finals. Each day when it was on, I was happy because I was like, ooh, the finals are on tonight.
Gotta say, I like Giannis. He just seems nice. I like him.
As a baller or as
a
person?
We know he's a baller. He seems like a nice person, too. Good for you, I'm glad Giannis won it. Although I wish Cam Johnson would have won, but this is what happens, Adam, when you're as successful as the Tar Heels are. You had a player on each team. You just had to be happy with whatever the outcome was.
Bumped into Luke May last week, who, as we know, is friends with both Cam Johnson and Justin Jackson, and asked him who he was rooting for in the finals, and he said he wanted Cam to win and that he had told Justin Jackson so, but that he was happy that Justin won.
Justin, you are my brother. I am choosing Cam Johnson.
Well, his logic, as you would expect with Luke May, was very sound, because he said Justin had just sort of arrived in Milwaukee.
Right.
And kind of honestly fell into that situation, which that's fine. You fall into a championship ring, that's a championship ring. But that Cam and the Suns had been building this since the bubble last year, and so he felt like it would be the right end to their journey. So now we'll see if their journey continues on for another year. Sometimes teams lose in the championship, but then come back to win it later.
Michael Jordan, James Worthy, Danny Green, and now Justin Jackson.
That's right.
The only Tar Heels that have both a national championship ring and an NBA title.
I wanted to get your thoughts on this, speaking of Notre Dame. They apparently have what has been described informally as the Netflix of Notre Dame sports with this app, I guess, that they have called Fighting Irish TV. And there's been talk that Clemson may start Clemson Plus prior to football season. So this is something I go to my smart TV and I can download, let's say, the Clemson Plus app. And then there's all sorts of on-demand things on there that I can watch about Clemson athletics. This is not about live games.
Right.
Because all that's already signed away until our kids are running the university. So this is all about on-demand stuff. I feel like this is something Carolina could do, but you know a lot more than I do. What do you think?
I think the trickiest part that Notre Dame doesn't have to deal with, that I'm assuming Clemson will, is the rights to the footage. And I know you just say it's not games, but even like practices get into a murky area with the current agreement with ESPN. And so I don't know. I just think that would be a tricky, it will be more difficult than you think it will be, I think. On face value, I think it makes a lot of sense. And yet, like, how is it dramatically different than like a YouTube channel, right? I mean, there's a Carolina Athletics YouTube channel, and most of the features and content that is done within Go Heels Productions goes up on that channel. And so I don't know how it is dramatically different from that. Again, on face value, I think it makes sense, but I think it's a little trickier than probably you think it is.
I think.
And Notre Dame's different because they own all their footage.
Right. The number one difference is I make you pay for it in a couple of years.
Right.
And you don't pay for the YouTube channel. So if I can figure out a way to put enough content on there that especially Tar Heel fans not in the immediate area would pay to have this, could coaches' shows be on there each week? Instead of putting them on the radio, why don't you put it on Carolina Plus and make that the only way you can get it is you subscribe to my Carolina Plus. I think that's something. I think
all that's possible. But I think in today's media climate as well, like, for example, a coach's show, well, somebody else is just going to get it and then write what he says and then put it on their website.
What?
And so I think it would be a struggle to find the content that would warrant a payment for that, I think. And I know everybody's just going to say, oh, well, everybody loves Carolina. Just put Carolina stuff on there and people pay for it. I don't think it's that black and white. It's not that easy.
Well, and the thing I immediately think of is the video of Theo Pinson mic'd up at Pickup last week or week before. That is something that it seems to me would have a nice home on this, but that is one thing.
Well, and having said that, don't you think Carolina basketball would rather have that be free,
right,
so that everybody can see it and be like, oh, Theo Pinson's back playing with the boys and here's one of our former alums and oh, isn't it great he's back? And this is, it's not as easy as you think it is. I'll go back to that.
Well, sounds like my next billion's going to have to come from somewhere else.
Well, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I just think it's kind of like whenever for example, here in Pod World Headquarters or at Go Heels Productions, we're talking about staff and people just go, oh, well, just get students. There's tons of students who want to help with that. Okay. That's, yes, on face value, that is an easy thing to say. Actually making that happen is a different story.
And are you content with that quality?
Also correct.
Which, I mean, students are smart, but there's a difference.
Sure.
Last thing, an email from Sharon Booth. I thought she had a lot of good information in this email. And you know it's going to be good because the subject line is possible Ronnie Millsap clip.
Mm.
Dear Jones and Adam, writes Sharon, I am a lifelong Carolina fan and longtime pod listener and was a member of the Tar Heel Sports Network team with Woody and Mick from 1990 to 92.
Sweet.
I just finished today's podcast and heard the question about Ronnie Millsap. Somehow I ended up with a few cassette recordings of early 90s games, one of them being the 93 National Championship produced and sold by the Tar Heel Sports Network. I have that cassette.
I do as well.
I believe, says Sharon, Ronnie Millsap may be on that broadcast with a special opening for the game. Mm. It certainly sounds like him, but that would need to be verified. Do you have access to that recording?
I do have access to that recording, and I will take a listen. And next pod, we will see what the result is.
Sharon doesn't seem to have a regular season game with Ronnie, but I do have a great open from the home game against Duke in 91 that includes references to both Hubert Davis and Mack Brown. Hmm. She'd be happy to share it in some form, maybe a voice memo. Yes, we would like to hear that.
The Bloody Montrose game, Mack Brown was the halftime guest.
Hmm. Ah, circle of life.
Yeah.
If I had known then what I know now. On a related note, one of my jobs each summer was to help Woody behind the scenes with the Carolina Kids Classic. Since the event came up recently with the tale of Jones's golfing prowess.
Mm.
What? Did something happen with you and golf? What happened?
So, Adam, I was on the tee at the 8.
I thought you might appreciate this old picture from the 1990 tournament, which includes Tar Heel Sports Network and Village Company's volunteers.
Adam, can I tell you something about that photo? It looked like it was like an old way. Like, if I had seen that photo when I was 12 years old, I would have thought it was from, like, the 1800s. Like, that's how old it looks from the, present day to how old it looks.
No offense to you, Sharon, of course.
No.
Because both Jones and I were doing stuff in 1990 as well.
Oh, yeah, we were there.
But it looks like you went to, like, Carowinds. And went in one of those booths where they have all the clothes.
Do you have the picture right there? Can I see it again?
Yeah. And like went in those booths where you take the old-timey photos and dressed up in gear. And they're like, all right, make a picture. And then they took the picture, and this is what we got.
Wow.
I mean, Mack Brown looks like he's 20.
He may have been.
So Sharon is the short one behind Mack Brown. Yeah, okay. This event took place at Findlay that year, although it looks like it took place in like the New World shortly after Columbus arrived.
And then after the photo was taken, they carved into a tree. Grow a twin.
Sharon correctly says, I know Woody would be happy that it's still going strong. I think that's true. Sharon's now in Miami. She's class of 1991. Sharon, thank you for listening.
Maybe Sharon watched some General College.
Oh, yeah. I bet she did.
Yeah. Well, Adam, I'm a little funked out by this Texas-Oklahoma stuff. I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't like it.
I prefer to think of it as an exciting new opportunity right up until it all ends horribly for the ACC, and then I'm depressed.
Yeah. Well.
Plus, Jim Phillips. Everybody thinks he's a smart guy who knows what he's doing, and I choose to blindly believe that.
Yep.
Until proven otherwise.
That 30 seconds that I spoke to him after the Duke basketball game, that 30 seconds has led me to believe that we got this.
He was very nice and seemed to definitely know how to direct the future of the league in which he had never set foot prior to about a day before that.
Yeah. We got this.
Yeah. Tight with Notre Dame. What more do you need?
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Adam, anything else?
I do not believe so.
Okay. So
we got into this discussion online about when the pods were going to be. Has this summer been any different than any other summer?
I don't think so.
And we don't do as many in the summer.
Right.
But we'll be back. Got like 2-3 weeks, 3-4 weeks, 10 weeks. No. Got a couple weeks, and we'll be back into the regular rotation. We'll let you know. It's coming. We'll be there. Can I just, before we go, I do want to mention one other topic, Adam, and that's old name, image, and likeness. Mm. And so here's some things that concern me personally.
I'm glad you saved the easy topic for last.
Yeah. Because I was in a big meeting about name, image, and likeness a couple of days ago. And I think from the media side of things, where I will be interested to see where this goes is if individual players start signing deals. And I think we saw this, I think it was at Texas, right? Where they're only going to do interviews with specific places.
I think it might have been A&M.
Was it A&M? And so I'll just be interested to see where that goes. Because, and this is something we talked about last time, there is no regulation right now, very limited regulation right now. And so, you know, this isn't a problem in professional leagues because they have collective bargaining agreements and the players union, and they all, you know, all these things are thought about and discussed and everybody works it out. But, and I'm not saying this, I'm just going to pick a name. Let's say RJ Davis just decides that he doesn't want to do postgame interviews anymore, or Sam Howell is only going to do interviews with a certain media company and nobody else. I think that's something that is possible. I don't think it's necessarily likely, but I do think it's possible. And I'll be interested to see how that plays out. Oh, there, I just said it. Interested to see. I said I was going to be interested to see.
You said you don't think it's necessarily likely. I don't think it's necessarily unlikely, because those types of interviews are things that student athletes are already doing. So you're not adding anything to your plate by adding some sort of deal in that department. And I could see myself thinking, well, I'm already doing this. Why don't I get paid to do this? That makes sense to me. Now, where it doesn't make sense to me is we can't make those kind of deals.
Right.
So if this becomes the standard, which I don't think it will, but I could look really stupid in a couple of years. I don't think it's going to become the standard that Carolina's got 13 basketball scholarships and all 13 have their own deal and are doing their own thing after the game. But it could. And if it does, how does that change things?
Right. And what Adam means is the university and the rights holder, Learfield, no longer Learfield IMG College, is they can't pay the players to that cannot be anything that they get into. So I think, you know, there probably is going to need to be some kind of understanding of what your responsibilities are as a student athlete. Just kind of like, here are the general practices that we consider just part of being a basketball, football, field hockey, whatever it is, player at the University of North Carolina, or if it's at the ACC level or whatever level that you're going to get to. So something to keep an eye on to see how that plays out. And I think also something that you do see a lot with professional athletes is part of the interviews, and it's normally, you know, one question is about a specific product. And so if, you know, player X wants to push some particular sponsor that he or she has and says, hey, yeah, I'll do the interview, but to do it, I've got to be able to plug this Ultimate Irish Peeler. So something else that could be a reality in the near future.
There's a lot of uncertainty in college sports right now.
Yes. That's why I said I was funked out, Adam. I'm funked. Aren't we all? All right. So for now, Just don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy. Enjoy the last bit of summer. Don't you worry. Adam, don't even worry. We're going to make it. For now, we are going to let Justin McCoy and the RZA get us out of here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
I'm Justin McCoy. See you later, big grits. When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner. Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meals served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen. When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
See you later, big grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.